Welcome to International Trade Minute, Quickfire Trade News, your essential podcast for a rapid briefing on crucial international commerce issues. Each episode dives into pressing trade law disputes, policy shifts, and regulatory updates. Sponsored by Rydell Law Firm, our episodes distill complex trade issues into actionable insights. In the next 15 minutes, we'll cover the latest in importation rulings, court decisions, and the impact of international sanctions and asset seizures. Stay tuned for strategic updates that could influence your trade decisions. Stay with us as we guide you through this week's top stories in international trade law, delivering the essential updates you need. Let's dive in. In an interesting turn within the realm of international trade regulations, CBP issued a ruling with significant implications for the importation of products composed of hemp. Specifically, we're looking at hemp cones, tubes, and wraps on the market for use with tobacco-free herbal blends. These products came under scrutiny to determine whether they fell under the category of prohibited drug paraphernalia. The background to this case centers on an inquiry by an undisclosed company aiming to import these goods into several U.S. states, some of which have legalized cannabis and others that have not. It is worth noting that this follows a 2022 Court of International Trade decision that allowed for the importation of drug paraphernalia directly into states with legalized cannabis. However, in those states without legalized cannabis, no such exemption from the drug paraphernalia prohibition would typically apply. ECBP's assessment hinged on the intent of usage for these hemp-based products. The standard, according to CBP, wasn't merely about whether the items could be used with illegal substances, but rather if they were primarily intended for such use. The unnamed importer presented evidence, including photos from online sources and a historical account of herbal wraps, to underline that these products have significant legitimate uses. Now, an intriguing point in the importer's argument compared the potential misuse of these hemp products to common objects like dollar bills or straws, which, although they could be used for consuming drugs, aren't primarily intended for that purpose. And this is where labeling played a crucial role. To rebut any association with illicit use, the packaging of these hemp products states that they are to be used only with legal tobacco-free herbal blends. The CBP ruling clarified that Crop Kings, the manufacturer of hemp cones and tubes, adheres to legal standards by avoiding cannabis-related promotions and clearly stating on their packaging and website that their products are used for legal herbal smoking products only. Consequently, the CBP determined that these items do not qualify as drug paraphernalia and their importation does not violate 21 U.S.C. Section 863-D. This decision reflects the delicate balance regulators must maintain between legal compliance and adapting to the commercial dynamics of emerging products like hemp goods. It highlights the need for importers to provide detailed documentation during regulatory evaluations and emphasizes the intricate knowledge required to navigate importation laws for products in legal gray areas. In a notable judicial decision, Judge Stephen Vaden of the Court of International Trade recently ruled against the Commerce Department's discretion during the COVID-19 pandemic. The case underscores the complex balance of regulatory diligence amid a global crisis and the profound impacts of the pandemic on international trade. The exporter CIMEC faced severe challenges due to the Delta variant in 2021, including the loss of three key accountants to COVID-19 and another critically ill, alongside weather-related power outages. Despite these hardships, the Commerce Department denied CIMEC's request for an extension to submit a detailed questionnaire covering over 800 invoices. Judge Vaden's decision highlighted the unequal vaccine access between the U.S. and Mexico and criticized the department's lack of flexibility under extreme circumstances. The judge pointed out that while CIMEC toiled to compile the necessary information, another mandatory respondent, Diacero, received not only an extension but seemed to benefit from more generic claims of difficulty. This formed the crux of his argument that commerce unduly favored Diacero over CIMEC, whose circumstances were far more calamitous. Justice Vaden's ruling pries open a conversation on the administration of trade regulation during crises. It isn't simply a matter of deadlines and documentation, but of sensitivity to the human element at play. Commerce's oversight, described as nearly zero interest in finality, was juxtaposed against the suffering and disruption CIMEC endured. Such a response from Commerce seemingly hung CIMEC out to dry, tantamount to turning a deaf ear to a chorus of desperate pleas for clemency during the pandemic. The ruling not only chastised Commerce's lack of compassion, but also pointed to a concerning disregard for the rule of law. The department's own admission that it was unaware of any other COVID-era respondent that experienced the level of hardship CIMIC did underscores the unique and extraordinary circumstances faced by CIMIC. This form of bureaucratic inertia, as the court emphasized, is not only unjustified, but also not supported by substantial evidence when the record clearly shows significant hardship. Ultimately, the court's decision stands as a testament to the principle that during times of global adversity, the machinery of trade law must adapt and flex with a dosage of humanity. It's a reminder that, in the labyrinthine interplay of global commerce, empathy remains an indispensable compass. In a demonstration of the breadth of international trade laws, a recent enforcement action underscores their reach into wildlife protection. Zuniga Limited, a luxury handbag retailer, has faced significant legal consequences for smuggling goods made from protected wildlife. The case involved handbags made from caiman and python skins, species protected under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, CITES. This international treaty ensures that trade in wild animal and plant specimens does not threaten their survival, mandating strict controls on the import of products from these protected species. From February 2016 to April 2019, Zuniga Limited imported luxury items from Colombia to the U.S. by having friends, relatives, and employees carry the handbags on flights, bypassing standard import procedures and violating the CITES agreement. The scheme culminated in legal action, with the company's showroom in New York City implicated. Nancy Teresa Gonzalez de Barberi, the founder, received an 18-month prison sentence and 3 years of supervised release. Her associate, Mauricio Giraldo, was sentenced to time served, approximately 22 months in both Colombia and the U.S., plus 1 year of supervised release. Zuniga Limited has been sentenced to a 3-year probationary period, during which it is barred from any commercial trade in wildlife and must forfeit all seized handbags. These measures, both punitive and deterrent, aim to prevent exploitation of vulnerable wildlife species for commercial profit. This case highlights the U.S. authorities' commitment to enforcing environmental and wildlife conventions, sending a clear message to international trade practitioners and businesses. Engaging in the illegal trade of products made from protected species carries significant legal risks and underscores the enforcement of international agreements protecting endangered fauna and flora. Trade professionals would do well to heed this tale as a cautionary example. Ensuring compliance with conservation laws and international treaties is imperative. It is not enough to possess awareness of tariffs and legal quotas. Understanding environmental protections integrated into the global trade system is equally crucial. The integrity of international trade depends upon it, as does our collective stewardship of the Earth's biological treasures. In a significant development in financial tensions, a Russian court has ordered the seizure of $440 million from J.P. Morgan, marking a notable escalation in global banking disputes amid rising geopolitical tensions. This decision comes in response to the U.S. implementing the Repo Act, which allows for the confiscation of Russian sovereign assets within American banks. In a reciprocal move, Moscow has effectively enacted its own countermeasure, leading to the freezing of J.P. Morgan funds. The legal action stems from VTB, a Russian bank, seeking to recover funds frozen due to U.S. sanctions. These funds were held by J.P. Morgan in a U.S. account, now caught in a financial standoff inaccessible to both VTB and J.P. Morgan. In a complex twist for multinational banks amid sanctions, VTB has warned that J.P. Morgan might leave the Russian market, potentially without covering losses. This prompted a countersuit by J.P. Morgan in the U.S., underscoring the financial dilemmas triggered by sanctions. A Russian court has now sided with VTB, ordering the seizure of J.P. Morgan's assets in Russia, which includes both liquid funds and property interests in Russian subsidiaries. J.P. Morgan argues it is a victim caught between the conflicting demands of two sovereign powers, facing significant harm for adhering to U.S. sanctions. This situation highlights the substantial risks and potential collateral damage financial institutions face in the current geopolitical landscape. This recent development involving J.P. Morgan in Russia is part of a continuing pattern. Just last year, another major American bank experienced a similar situation when a Russian court froze a substantial amount of its assets, eventually ruling in favor of the state-owned bank, Otkriti. This sequence of events underlines a recurring theme in the intersection of law, finance, and geopolitics on the global stage. With each strategic move and response, we see the delicate balance in international trade relations and the profound impact of sanctions. As these sanctions become more ingrained in global commerce, the reactions and ramifications intensify, creating a dynamic story that highlights significant implications for international business. In a notable development, the Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, has imposed sanctions on a network believed to support Iran's military drone program. These comprehensive sanctions target 16 entities, including 8 individuals, 5 vessels, and 1 aircraft. Central to these sanctions is Sahara Thunder, identified as a front for Iran's Ministry of Defense and Armed Forces Logistics, MODAFIL. This entity plays a crucial role in the production and sale of drones, many of which are reportedly transferred to Russia for use in Ukraine. 3 Sahara Thunder officials, Kazem Mirzai Kondori, Hossein Bakshayesh, and Hojat Abdullahi Fard, have been sanctioned. Additionally, Etimad Tajarat Masag, a business under MODAFIL's subsidiaries, is also sanctioned, underscoring the scale and significance of these measures. OFAC has expanded its sanctions to include entities and vessels linked to Sahara Thunder's shipping operations, illustrating the extensive network of Iran's military enterprise. Sanctioned parties now include Zen Shipping and Port India, Private Limited and Safe Seas Ship Management, FCE, showcasing the international scope of these activities. Additionally, several vessels associated with Safe Seas Ship Management, FCE, KEM, Conrad, Dancy Dynamic, and KMA, are now under sanctions, highlighting the maritime components of the drone trade. Further, OFAC has targeted Onden General Trading, FZE, and Seon Shipping Corporation, along with the vessel LA Pearl, for their roles in shipping Iranian commodities on behalf of Sepher Energy Jahan Nama Pars, another commercial wing of MODAFIL. The U.S. has imposed sanctions on Puya Air and its Ilyushin 76 aircraft, EP PUS, for its role in aerial logistics, spotlighting key domestic contributors to Iran's drone capabilities, such as Bunyan Danesh Sharg Private Company, a significant drone manufacturer. Sanctions extend to its CEO, Abbas Abdi Astyard, and other affiliates. Internationally, the UK and Canada have also enacted sanctions, targeting entities and individuals within Iran's drone network, reflecting coordinated efforts to address Iran's destabilizing activities. These measures underline the commitment of the U.S. and its allies to monitor and counter the global implications of military advancements, emphasizing the strategic importance of international trade, not only in commerce, but also in securing international peace and stability. Thank you for tuning into this edition of International Trade Minute Quickfire Trade News. Today, we explored trade law intricacies, including the CBP's ruling on hemp products, and the CIT's scrutiny of Commerce Department practices amid the COVID-19 pandemic. We also discussed wildlife protection violations, asset seizures in the Russia-US banking conflict, and OFAC's sanctions on Iran's drone trade. These segments highlight the dynamic nature of international trade and emphasize the importance of staying informed. We appreciate Rydell Law Firm's support in bringing you these essential legal trade updates. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for next week's episode of International Trade Minute, where we'll continue to bring you the cutting edge of trade news, analysis, and discussion. Thank you, seasoned trade practitioners, for lending us your time and expertise until we meet again.